This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. The following show discusses ideas and values that are solely those of the hosts. It includes regular mentions of conspiracy theories for which there is little or no credible evidence. We recommend listeners consult a range of credible sources and seek out the views of experts. The views expressed are the show hosts only and not those of Free FM.
Good morning, one and all. This is From the Fringes, a program about alternative, provocative views. My name is Jack Geelan, Jenny Pumamanuka.
Hello, good morning.
Jeff.
Kia ora, everybody.
We've got Kerry Bevan, the leader of the Father's Rights Movement, and we've also got Simon.
Kia ora.
Now, Jenny, you were talking about Rob Tockler.
I don't know who...
I was tackled by some police, and you said the sirens were going, and you're talking about police brutality.
People in the freedom community will be familiar with Rob Tockler. He's a pretty prominent force in the freedom community.
Yes.
And he failed to stop for the police when the police had their sirens going.
Wow.
But Rob and Luke Shelby alleged that they were about 100 metres away with their sirens blaring.
Yeah.
And so they couldn't hear anything. And that's why they failed to stop.
Yeah, well, what we're saying is locally, people are driving into one another on the roads.
Yeah.
They're not giving away. They're using tailgating. And it's terrible on the road.
The thing is...
And you come up to a roundabout and we're saying police should be out there issuing fines on people, traffic fines.
Yeah.
But why haven't we got police in the community walking the beat and correcting people on the street and this sort of thing? This is what needs to happen.
Yeah. I think police need to drop the brutality, though, because they managed to tackle good old Rob to the ground at 67 years old. They didn't tell him why they were pulling him up.
Yeah, I don't like it when they are in hot pursuit of a young person in the car.
Yeah.
And then the person crashes. That they should get the number plate and go around and see the person later on.
Yeah.
I think that would be a good thing. Okay, the working class left the lefties indulgent within diversity, equity and inclusion, stopping things from getting done. There was a woman here who was driving that ship that actually went aground or something.
What?
Yep. And the woke took over, creating a mess. So this is why the right wingers feel they had to correct it, because with the huge debt that we're in debt for at the moment.
That's why we always say we're not woke, we're not right, we're centrist.
So, but I say, why can't we have the wealth tax come in? Okay, so the rich pay more, and like they sort out the debt. What do you think, Kerry?
I'm opposed to wealth tax because those people who have been smart enough to generate wealth, they usually create and promote more business and thereby create jobs. This gives the ability to the working class to work their way to prosperity too. So if you work hard and use your money wisely, there's no reason why you couldn't become wealthy across your lifetime also. So that shouldn't be penalised, it should be encouraged. So if you have a wealth tax that disincentivises development of wealth and jobs. So wealth tax is a crazy idea.
But at the moment, we don't see any jobs out there. And we see young people on the dole, more and more unemployment, and they should be encouraged to find work.
No, that's not correct, Jack, because you've just seen in the coalition government, they've created thousands of jobs around an energy hub at Marsden Point, and they've opened two new gold mines in the South Island. And this is just the beginning of the economic development plan for more jobs for thousands of people. So you've got it wrong, Jack.
Okay, but self-government and godly rule, the common law equity councillors, they're taking back Australia and New Zealand, their own sovereignty, because what they were actually saying now, in 5 years, every port, railway, power grid and water licence will be controlled by foreign ownership. Do we want foreign ownership in this country? That's a question I would ask. But Kerry, you're the granddad of the Father's Rights Movement, is that right?
well, I don't know if granddad's the right word, but I've been around supporting men and fathers and their families for a long time.
Yeah. So the male support group had a wonderful counsellor. He used to be a Catholic, but he's a counsellor there and he helps men and this sort of thing. And he came up to me and he said, "You were with the Father's Rights Movement." And I said, "That is correct. We used to protest outside judges' houses." He said, "You have brought changes in the family court, because whereas they used to attack fathers and males all the time, now he reckons that men are being listened to, fathers are being listened to." What do you say to that, Kerry?
Well, I think there has been a bit of a shift over the 20-year period that we've been active, Jack, but there's still a long way to go. And there are still one of the most common tools used by difficult mothers and feminists is false allegations, and there's far too many false allegations. We need to be more severe on people who make false allegations. Quite often they get away with it. They don't get reined in or prosecuted at all, and they should be.
That's what I noticed about...
The sad thing I was sharing with Kerry before is the education system. Like, we educated that our benevolent lawyers are there to help us, which is just a load of rubbish.
Yeah,
I'd agree with that.
Now,
self-represents the way to go.
Yeah. Neil Finn, who's with the group Split Ends, has discovered a miracle healing drug.
What?
A new wonder drug called Bruno, a life force step freeing up clogged arteries, whereas men used to use testosterone and Viagra. Now, he's had a baby. He's having a baby at 67. He impregnated a woman, and now she's having a baby at 67. So I thought, oh, this is wonderful. Now men between 60 and 70 can have a baby. And I went along to the pharmaceuticals.
Neil Finn.
The wonder drug is called Bruno. Have
Bruno.
You heard of
Bruno.
It?
Bruno. Bruno.
Bruno. Bruno the ape.
Yeah, but there's a lot of men who can't create children. You know, the sperm is sort of dead or whatever the case may be. And so this wonder drug means that men can procreate. They can procreate.
Oh, well. But, I mean, who wants to be procreating when they're, like, 67?
Well, I had a baby at 61, so...
61!
You left it a bit late, Jack.
That's a bit late.
Yeah, but I've still had a child, and my child says when they say, "Oh, you're a granddad," he says, you're an old man with a young heart. So
that's a good way of putting it.
Yep. So here's to all the older fathers out there. You can still be a father and you can still rear your children.
I think God gave woman a time limit for a reason.
You reckon? No,
yeah.
So what's the limit with woman? Do women want to have children?
About 50 years old.
Do they still have children at 45, 49?
They can if their system's still going.
Yeah, the risks of deformity and other complications are considerably increased if you start doing it that late, Jack.
But apparently if the woman's younger, that's less likely to happen.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So you're saying, Jack, that 70-year-old men should have 20-year-old girlfriends? Is that what you say?
Oh, by the way, guys, we've got John Wanoa on the line.
Yeah.
If you wanted to ask him some questions, you're most welcome to.
Now, Simon, you had something ready to share.
Oh, well, I'll try and stop laughing over the Bruno thing for a bit first. Yes, private prosecuting, I'm getting a lot of help from outside influencers. Maybe all lawyers aren't that criminal. Just hooking up with the right people. I did and I'm still probably affidavit D that I've been bouncing off isn't as bad as it used to be, but like Kerry was saying, we've still got a long way to go from the mystifying powers of the courts. We need to really understand that we stand in the kingdom of God when we go in the courtroom and have no fear. Fear and guilt, they ride on it big time.
Yeah, and this is where the Bible says, let every power be subject to the higher power. And I believe the higher power is the King of all kings.
Not the clowns here on earth.
The Lord Jesus Christ. But this is where, and according to the William of Orange, where he brought religious and political transformation, everyone is a priest, everyone is a headship believer, and everyone is part of the counterpart pride of Christ. So this is where the Christians need to step up. Now, John, I had a question for John. It is... self-government and godly rule, common law equity. It appears that in Australia and New Zealand, there's going to be an issue of sovereignty later on. In 5 years, every port, railway, power grid and water license will be controlled by foreign ownership. No more selling off our farms, controlling our roads, hospitals, defence. Okay. What do you say about sovereignty, John? Are we going to lose our sovereignty in the future?
You never lose your sovereignty. That's your God-given right. But it's someone using your sovereignty to make money. That's what you got to go after, to wrench it off them and collectively go together to put your sovereignties together. That's what's happening in Australia, and that's what should happen here, because you're valuable and the Crown here in Wellington is using your sovereignty all these years as a bond. When you go to the court, they use your bond certificate, which is your sovereignty, your value, to put you on bond till you go back to court later. They're raking the money out of it as a trustee.
So what you're saying is, if we don't acknowledge self-determination, if we don't acknowledge who we are as a people, as a nation, and we don't get back to a constitution, and we don't get back to human rights and everyone standing up in their belief system, that the whole world's going to hell on a handcart. Now, this is an article I put in the paper, More Democracy in Local Government. I strongly believe there should be more democracy in local government, said Jack Geelan. Okay, about 39% of Hamiltonians vote in the local body elections. This is a dreadful state of affairs. I think voting should be compulsory. A healthy democracy cannot be sustained on such a low turnout. And Kerry and I were talking this morning, but I'm not going to tell people to vote for me or anything like that. But Kerry was saying this morning about posters. They get these beautiful big posters and they smile and they don't define who they are and they think they're going to march in as incumbents. And where's the democratic rights of people? Where are the people who are standing up for their, you know, believing in a person?
Oh, I've seen some promos out and about more on Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're, I don't know, but would I vote for any of these people? I don't know.
Yeah, so should voting be compulsory, Kerry? What do you think about all this?
Well, voting in the general elections already is compulsory, but of course it's too difficult to enforce. But it is it's a good idea to make it compulsory, but what you do about enforcing it. The real problem to make people vote here, particularly I think in the local elections, is there's not enough publicity out there. The candidates don't get out there and tell people what they actually stand
for. That's right.
Yeah.
You see a lot of these signs on fences. There's a picture, there's a visage, somebody's face,
beautiful.
Their name, vote for me, but nothing tells you about what they stand for. Yeah.
That's right.
There's not enough explanation.
And
so I'm not going to vote for a candidate who can't even say, well, I stand for three main things or whatever. And they need to put it on their signs and the publicity needs to be expanded. And so I would always vote for the candidate who bothers to take the time to explain what they stand for.
The candidates have gotten into making Facebook advertising, and so they say what they stand for on Facebook.
Mm. Yeah. So
that doesn't really tell about the substance of the guy, really. Three little points.
And the other thing about the lot of the candidates too, they talk in general platitudes like, make Hamilton better. But what do you actually mean? There's
That's
no
right.
detail. You actually have to put detail into your policy so that people know what you're really on about. Make Hamilton better is a ridiculous idea. What do you mean? What are the points you're on about?
And just before Jeff comes on, I'd like to say is, in society, a lot of people are throwing crap at one another, but they're not being responsible, standing in their belief. And I think that needs to totally change. If we had compulsory voting tomorrow, they would have to define who they are and they'd be responsible for their own destinies. Okay, Jeff.
Take it away.
Good morning, listeners. This is, you're listening to Free FM 89 here in Hamilton, New Zealand. We're broadcasting live. It's the 20th of August 2025. It's a segment I quickly do for Jack and his show From the Fringes. I call it Food for Thought, and it's the problems facing humanity's future, some from its past, its past. Today's letter's I. Last week we did H. Investigations are underway into yet another fatal police shooting in New Zealand. Does anyone remember I mentioned the New Zealand police need to stop using lead bullets a few weeks ago?
Right.
Well, they need better training. They have actually got persons incompetent in their positions. I'm referring to those at the very top, not just the police officers that pulled their triggers. The ministers in charge of police conduct in this country. Police investigation groups created by incompetent governance. The Independent Police Complaints Authority being incompetent. All of these institutions have had ample opportunity to disarm our police. A complete change to law enforcement necessary. Let those 51 Muslims murdered in Christchurch remind you of police competence, because that shooter didn't get shot. Insanity, to shoot a child. Is there any hope for those that do? Illegal state of Israel. Yes, this criminal insanity needs to stop. I've been looking at remedies for their insanity. I hold out no hope for those that have murdered. Thou shalt not murder. Industrialization is something that I do look at. The future without war will require multiple thinkers with astute insight. The industrial military complex funds the United States of America. Also, many individuals around our world are cashing in on the need for men to murder men. So these false flags like October 7th and 9/11 have become their actual bread and butter. Impunity for this illegal Israel from international law simply means we don't have any form of international law. It's just two words strung together by wishful thinkers. Hence why this world's got all of these persons incompetent in their positions in multiple international government departments. I move on to Islamic monarchism. Hey there, Christians, your neighbours are Muslims. Remind them of their obligations to follow and obey Allah's messenger, Al-Masih Isa, Jesus, when he comes. And a quick word in Arabic for those Arabic Muslims listening, Jack, La ilaha illallah wa ana Muhammad ar-Rasulullah. Al-Masih Isa ar-Rasulullah. Get those out there ready. The word for the new millennium today is Islam.
Okay.
Izzah is Jesus' name in Arabic. Lamb. Izzah, the Lamb of God.
Now, with the Theosophical Society, autocracy is not democracy. At the Theosophical Society, no society can control another incorporated society. So I was before the judge last week, and I was standing against the guys who are from Auckland. But my point is, in response to what Jeff has just brought up, is I saw this young girl, she was actually doing a meditation posture, and I said to her, do you realize you can incorporate Christ into the Om? And I said, all you do is go, Amen, Lord Jesus, Amen, Lord Jesus. And when you're doing Tai Chi, you can worship the Lord by going like this, in that direction, King Jesus over the universe, thank you for creating everything, King Jesus, you know what I mean? So we're able to actually witness to Sikhs, to Muslims. So this is a wake-up call, Jeff. We should be sharing our faith with all these different religions and different people.
Next week, Jack, I'll be going on about Jesus and jihad, what jihad actually means.
And also, I'd like to talk about the fact that if we were all priests, headship believers, and part of the counterpart bride of Christ, we would be providing, and I'm also part of the King of All Kings movement, which wants to go into communities and get people looking at the elections and what do the community people really want.
Yeah.
I promoted the cherubim ministry with the three angels message, the lion, eagle, man, ox, visionary, compassionate service. Raise up King Priest Delta Force male child group. And I noticed the Joseph Company, and this is what the Joseph Company, the remnant Joseph Company, a prophetic word against complacency, pride, false security, especially the northern kingdom of Israel. Woe to those who are at ease in Zion. Joseph represents fruitfulness, preservation, and a remnant who endure judgment, famine, to bless others. It's in Genesis 45. My Merrill campaign with the Joseph campaign stands for justice and care for the afflicted, not those, you know, who are well-housed, living in luxury and pride. So I'm wearing the Urim and Thummim. Can you see all these different colours, different stones? On one side, you've got the stones in the New Jerusalem, Ben Joseph, Ben Judah. The other side, you've got the buddy supporter, the holistic healer, the common law practitioner. So I'm actually mirroring everything in the light of the New Jerusalem.
You go, Jack. You go.
So it's been wonderful having Kerry on the show. But Kerry, I think that's a victory with Jim Bagnall and us protesting against judges. You remember that when that movement was happening? So where's the men's movement going from here, Kerry? What do you think?
Well, it has faltered actually, because after the serious and sustained onslaught of feminism and a Labor government that had deliberate policy that was anti-male and anti-father. They even had leaders who were saying that a father is not necessary. On earth you would ever vote for Labor? Oh, that's poisoned with that kind of thinking, I don't know. So, but men have attempted to struggle back, but at this stage we still don't have a ministry for men, even though the Ministry for Women has had nearly $200 million. And so where is the governmental money from the taxpayers' pocket that would support all of those groups around the country? There's a loose network of various men's groups. They should be getting some governmental to continue the work, because a lot of these, it is the males who are committing suicide, not the females. That's a huge loss of human resource.
Yeah.
And it's a crime against our own humanity here in New Zealand. And so there's still a long way to go, despite the fact that we've caused some shifts for the better.
So I'd like to think we had a victory when we were protesting against judges and the Father's Rights Movement, and with Jim Bagnall, and we used to be outside their houses and saying that you're trafficking in children and you're supporting this. What do you think, Simon?
Being a dad and seeing the hardships and all the ups and downs, and I can really relate to Kerry, but there's just no way. I mean, if you're a real dad, you don't give up on your kids. I've been suicidal. Jack managed to get me through that just by making me laugh.
Thank you.
Yeah, just by making me laugh my head off. But anyway, I got through that. For anyone out there, it is mystifying. It is a work of witchcraft, definitely. You've got to keep punching through whatever you do. And I have to put this out there, because the suicide rate's so high in New Zealand, don't give up the battle. Keep pushing on through, Mr.
Fight
Male. Be a male.
There's more to life than
grow a pair of nuts.
Yeah. So I did this press release, More Democracy in Local Government, and at Rates Association they were talking about promote the rights of residents and ratepayers, promote open democratic local government, demands from the local government, transparency, prudent stewardship, accountability and cooperation, encourage community participation. That's the big one. Do we see democratic assemblies? Do we encourage the people in society to vote and to be interested in what happens on council? You know what I mean? This is very important. And some of the ideas that I came up with was my role is to listen, to lead with integrity so our city can thrive. The people of Hamilton have entrusted us with their voice, resources and hopes. Leadership and vision, partnership and teamwork with collaboration, accountability and transparency, listening and consultation, stewardship and resources, problem solving and innovation, equity and inclusion. At the heart of it all, this is a partnership. Yeah, so I've been really challenged. I'm going to be doing an induction tomorrow. They've never done this in previous elections. They're filming us and they want us to act as though we are the councillor. We are the mayor. What are you going to do, you know, for your particular society? What changes are you going to make? So I am finding this quite challenging this time. I mean, in spite of the fact that I was evicted, I could have been on the street. I was homeless. It was horrible what I went through. And I actually saw one particular person. I talked to an OPI, don't take your life, please. You know, the Lord Jesus has a better plan for you. So it's horrible. 112,000 homeless people. What are our solutions, Kerry, to the homelessness? What are our solutions to people, you know, needing to participate in democracy?
Well, if the Hamilton Council follows the Christian moral code, which is a good one, it does need to provide refuge or sleepover places for those people who've got nowhere to go. It's an insult to modern civilization that Hamiltonians would tolerate people sleeping on the footpath in Victoria Street. Where's the refuge for them to sleep overnight where they can get a brief meal and a bit of counselling and told that it's welcome to come back and sleep tomorrow night if you're going to be on the footpath. This is just the Christian moral code in action.
That's sad if that's true, because when I was going through that, there were refuge places and there was a meal and someone to talk to, so obviously that's getting worse. Yeah. It needs to be addressed again.
But they need to be change makers, because I noticed, because I've been at a couple of the meals, they become crap throwers and they are attacking one another instead of being change makers. If they were involved in taking responsibility in their own destinies, they would have more of a heart to, okay, I need to do this, I'm not going to do that. And why is it, why aren't they taking responsibility? In Australia, everyone has to vote. They do take responsibility. They man up. They front up to who they really are. We have a terrible problem. We have long grass and people are taking their lives and families are being destroyed.
Unfortunately, Jack, there's too many New Zealanders have become critics instead of doers. And so that needs promotion and discussion, serious money put behind it to do that. It's actually a campaign to encourage people to exercise their democratic vote. Otherwise, there's no point in complaining after something happens and someone's on council is doing something that you don't like. You need to question and be encouraged to vote and attend these meetings.
I've heard some of them say, I'm glad people are not voting because I can march straight in. I've actually heard that is disgusting. So we're not promoting talks, democratic assemblies.
There's no promotion of participatory democracy at a level required.
It's desperately needed, and I hope they man up, and I hope they get their act together.
Well, the council needs to commit some money to it.
Yeah. Self-government and godly rule, common law equity councillors. We want to take our country back, because both Australia and New Zealand, we are sovereigns. We are self-determined individuals. When are we going to rise up and take back what belongs to us? Are we looking at a revolution similar to what William of Orange brought when he brought political and religious transformation? He said, I want your land. He took 30,000 in a boat. Is it going to take a revolution to wake the people up, Kerry?
Well, if governments here keep selling off our assets to the Chinese or other foreign interests, there will be a revolution, and bring it on.
What do you say?
Creating a lousy amount of jobs, really, is what they've done, and offshore workers are coming in and filling those positions. So I think what the employers of New Zealand need to hear is, how about employing a New Zealander? Go on.
Each and every one of you employ
one person, say, before Christmas. Go on.
I hope it doesn't come to guns. I'm praying and hoping it doesn't.
No. We need to use open democratic forums. We need to challenge the government to walk a mile in our shoes, to know what's really going on in our communities. And so I just sort of wondered, out there, are you registered to vote? Do you take an interest in democracy? A lot of people aren't, I know that, and so I think it's a bit late.
Peace be with you, everybody. Thanks for having us again, Jack.
Yes, Joseph represents fruitfulness, preservation, and a remnant to endure judgment, famine, to bless others.
My mayor campaign, get out there and vote for your council in Hamilton.
Stands for justice and care.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.